Hello, I'm Nanette Weiser. I'm the host of Lunchtime Conversations and Radio St. Pete's news director. Did you know that Radio St. Pete, Sunshine 96.7 FM, is an all-volunteer 501(c) nonprofit? And when I say volunteer, did you know that you can volunteer with Radio St. Pete? There are so many ways to do so. You can reach out to us at info@radiosaintpete.com or go to our website, radiosaintpete.com. And with the volunteers in mind, I think it's about time we launched Volunteer Spotlight. And I am pleased to welcome our first guest, who is also my producer and audio engineer, Tim Valley. Hi, Tim.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Tim, tell us about Florida Folk Show, which is how I met you, and how you came to join Radio St. Pete and be part of the Saturday adventure with Pete Gallagher and Posse.
Yeah, it's definitely an adventure every week. But so the Florida Folk Show, we air every Saturday from 10 to 12. We live stream it on our Facebook. We usually have two musical guests and an environmental guest most weeks. Sometimes, you know, scheduling doesn't work out. But yeah, I met Pete because he lived down the road from me a number of years ago. Started helping him with certain things. And when they were still over at the other station, started helping with the Facebook live stream. And then when we moved over here, I moved over with them. And I don't know, it's been so much nicer over here at Radio St. Pete. We've got to broadcast from so many different places. I mean, for the longest time, we were on the front porch of the Craftsman House, but we've done it from research vessels, Everglades City, all over the place. I don't know. It's a lot of fun.
Tim, you know, I think we have a San Diego connection. Yeah. Our dear friend Anna Hummel, who still has the Homemade Broadcast with Will Kunz. Shout out, Will and Anna, which I love. And she's a radio personality, and so is Will. She's from San Diego, and I did not know this. Hey, folks. San Diego, another San Diego connection. Tell us a little bit about growing up and your love of music. And you told me a funny story about being 13 and how you got into punk and skateboarding. So let's hear that backstory.
Yeah, so my dad was in the Navy, so we moved all over the place. But when I was 10, we got stationed out in San Diego. And I don't know, I really loved it. Most perfect weather in the whole world, I swear. But yeah, that was the late 90s. Skateboarding was pretty big back then. So, you know, I started skating, and then my older sister's friends were into punk rock. So I started like hearing bands like Pennywise, and, you know, just really, really spoke to me. I really enjoyed it. And it just kind of seemed to go perfectly hand in hand with the skateboarding, just that energy. I don't know. And so, but honestly, music, I first got into music when I was in fifth grade. I started playing the alto sax. And, but then, you know, got too cool for that once I was into punk rock and skateboarding. So I sold my saxophone and got an electric guitar and amp and, you know, but, you know, cause I wanted to be a punk or whatever. But yeah, I don't know. That's kind of how my whole love of music started. And yeah.
So Frank Williams was here today from Clearwater Jazz Holiday, and he said something funny. How did you learn to play with the knobs?
By twisting and turning them. I don't know. I've always been more of a like tactile, hands-on learner with anything. Like, I can read about it, you can tell me how to do it, and it never makes sense to me until I'm actually just in there, like touching things and, oh, what does this do? Oh, I don't like that. I'm not going to do that again. Or, ooh, that sounds nice. Let's keep doing that.
How long have you been playing with mixers and audio engineering and producing?
Growing up with punk rock and whatnot, a big part of the punk rock ethos is DIY, do it yourself. So, I mean, just started with recording myself in my living room, or friends would come by and I would just hang an SM58 from my ceiling fan. And
what is an SM58?
An SM58 is a microphone. It's kind of the like standard workhorse of microphones. If you see a microphone, chances are it's an SM58. Like, they are pretty much indestructible. You can run them over and they still work. They're amazing. So they're just standard. Just classic microphone, relatively cheap. So, you know, it's for.
So you were jamming.
Yeah. Just having fun. Just trying to, you know, do our own little thing. And then as I got connected with Pete, I started running sound for their, they used to do Florida Folk Nights, various places around town. So I was running sound for that, and then started, through the folk show, met like Charlie Morris from the St. Pete Mountain Boys and Dave Schreiber from Ocean Road. So started mixing sound for those bands, and yeah, just kept learning as I go. And it's, I don't know, it's, I really love it. It, especially the mixing bluegrass, that's a lot of fun. It feels the closest to playing an instrument from the mixing side, because I'm constantly having to like ride the different solos and just really anticipate what they're going to be doing. And I don't know, that's probably my favorite thing to do is mix bluegrass.
So you're the fourth member of the band in that sense. You know, you're the member, the silent member, yeah, that's actually making the music happen. So you mentioned bluegrass. How did you get from loving punk to loving bluegrass?
Oh, man, I don't know. I'm not a genre-specific person. I don't know. I think no matter what style of music, there is really good music in every style, and there's a whole lot of really, really bad music in every style. And so I don't know. My parents listened to a fair amount of country music growing up. Like, I think the first concert I went to, we were living out in like outside of Philly, and there was a big like country festival or whatever that we went to, like Brooks and Dunn, Tim McGraw, all that stuff. But yeah, I don't know. So a little bit of country, and then I got more into folk as I got older, and then folk naturally transitions to bluegrass, I think, as you get exposed to more stuff. But yeah, I mean, I love it all. My wife teases me all the time because I obsess over music and retain just unnecessary amounts of facts that no one needs to know, and I don't know why I know, but yeah.
Well, we're going to hear more about that because we're going to evolve this into a monthly podcast where Tim talks to us about who's he listening to. So I want to just talk about the fact that you know, Tim is not just a volunteer here at Radio St. Pete and giving us his time and expertise, and he's a delight to work with, but he also works with some heavy metal rock and roll. Tell us about the Janis experience, Tim. Give us some back of the stage info.
Yeah, so for the last couple of years, I've been a stagehand over at Janis. So just unload all of the gear, set it up on stage, and tear it all down at the end of the day. It's a lot of fun. We have a really great crew there. Everyone's just hardworking, and it's been interesting to see the, I don't know, because I mean, I've loved music, gone to so many shows over the years, but seeing the variety of like preparedness and level of like production from the various bands that come through, like some will have like, it's just absolute chaos. They have no idea where anything goes or what they want or anything. And then other bands, it is so orderly and just, and they tell you exactly what they need and where they need it. And so it's kind of fun to see the different levels of like, and it also varies based on the level of experience that band has. But yeah, it's a whole interesting, different world that I didn't really know about.
Some of the bands that you've really enjoyed seeing over there?
Oh, geez. I mean, there have been so many over the years. Because for like 17 years, I worked at Joey Brooklyn's, which is our back door was inside Janis. So, I mean, I've just been...
Wow.
I've seen so many bands at Janis over the years. But I don't know. I think my favorite... Actually, really... No, I do know. My favorite... show I ever saw at Janis was Explosions in the Sky. So they're an instrumental band. They did like the Friday Night Lights soundtrack. They do a lot of soundtracks, but yeah, a lot of really just interesting electric guitar and noise. And but yeah, so I'd seen them a few years ago at Janis before I was working there, but they came through once I was working there. They came through again, and I gotta tell you, they were my favorite, not only just the performance, but also from the local crew side. So a lot of these bands, they'll have like these giant video walls that we have to build, all this crazy nonsense. These guys literally, it was like 8 lights, like 4 on each side, just set them on the stage, a lot of haze, and that's it.
Back to basics, buddy.
Yeah, no, and it looked and so much better than a lot of these other bands that come through with these huge productions. Like, they just kept it simple. Some nice lights and some haze, and we're just going to play some great music.
That's like early punk.
Yeah, yeah. No, right? I love it. Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, I remember the Beef Farmers and Spirit and all of that in San Diego, and, you know, it was just unplugged setup. and just smash it.
Yeah.
Just smash it. Folks, you know, Volunteer Spotlight is focused right now on Tim Valley, who is our audio producer, sound engineer, a delight. I hope that you will think about joining us as a volunteer. There are so many ways to be involved in our events, at the studio. If you have a show that perhaps you want to do a podcast or you want to do a music show, all you have to do is go to info@radiosaintpete.com and email us. We'll get back to you right away. Tim, tell us a little bit about how, I mean, you get paid to do these things, good money. Why are you a volunteer and what does it mean to you?
You know, honestly, it's taken me a while to really like realize, because like, I don't know. I don't even necessarily think of myself as a volunteer a lot of the time. It's just this thing that I do that I love. I look forward to it every week. It is, honestly, Saturday mornings are the thing I look forward to the most every week. But yeah, I don't know. It's just a great way to be involved in the community and what is going on musically and socially, politically, environmentally in this area. I don't know. It keeps me in touch with the community, and I love that. And not everyone can necessarily donate to support the radio station, so it's a great alternative to spending money. You can spend your time helping Radio St. Pete.
You know, it really is. It really is a family. You know, I look forward. First of all, I hope that your second favorite is coming into studio to do our lunchtime conversations. I can say that, you know, people like Andy, Anna, and now you, I've been blessed to work with some talented people who make us sound so fabulous. But I will say that people say to me, well, why? And I say, just like you said, I have found my posse. I have found my tribe.
Absolutely.
This is a community from Joe Berdow and Jay Kolb to Karen Carmichael and our board of directors. Shout out Stephen Riordan, another one who's on our board of directors, also has his big Broadway energy. We have found our tribe, and we are delighted to bring your stories in the community and our volunteer stories to light. So thank you very much, Tim, for joining us on our very first inaugural Volunteer Spotlight. I'm your host, Nanette Weiser. Parting words, Tim, before we sign off?
I love Radio St. Pete. I love getting to be a part of this amazing community and help support local music. I love it.